We're on Chav Chesamid Beis. We are toward the bottom. Let's begin where it says, Omar Rav Tanchum, even though we did see this, but just to refresh our memories, which is about 8 lines from the bottom. Omar Rav Tanchum, Omar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. You didn't see that? We're going on Chav Chesamid Beis. Yes. Keneged Shmona. So this was actually the third of the three opinions. Exactly why do we have the Shmona Esrei? What is the significance of the Shmona Esrei? Why 18 in particular? So Rav Tanchum said that it's opposite the 18 bones in the vertebrae. This is actually the third opinion. The Gemara also gave a second opinion that it was Keneged, the Yudches Askaros Shivikriyashma, that 18 times Hashem's name is mentioned in the Shema, and therefore we say the Shemona Esrei was instituted. And the first opinion, which we should have started with, nonetheless, it's because 18 times in the paragraph of Tehillim of Havel Hashem B'nei Elim, Hashem's name is mentioned, and therefore we have the Shemona Esrei of 18. So now we're up to, we have the two dots, so we skip, let's say, just two more lines down, and in the middle, we're up to the words Hani Tamnitsari. I don't know if you see that. That's now 5 lines from the bottom.
After the
Hani Tamitzari. You're telling me that there's 18. The problem with the most important tefillah, which is the Shemona Esrei, which the whole tefillah is just a number, is that it's not even the correct number. Tishteri Havyan. It's really 19. It's very interesting. The name of the tefillah is just, all it means is 18. That's it. Represents the brachos. But it's not true. It's 19. So what is the significance of 19? How could we call it Shmona Esrei? Sam Rabbi Levi, Birchas HaTzadukim B'Yavne Tiknu. The truth is that this bracha, which as we know is not in, clearly not in chronological order, was stuck in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, the Birchas HaTzadukim, the blessing, the wonderful bracha that we give to Tzadukim, which is Lashon Saginah, which is euphemism, because certainly there's no blessing, it's certainly a curse, that was instituted later on in Yavne. So, therefore, we call it Shemona Esrei because it was originally Shemona Esrei. The Ashkenaz Gedolah, when they established, they instituted only 18 brachos. Later on in Yavne, they instituted the 19th bracha, the Birchas HaTzadukim. So why isn't it not at the very end? It's not at the very end because Birchas HaTzadukim is written right next to the bracha of Al HaTzadikim, Al Chassidim. So it's contrasting the curse that we give someone who's Tzaduki, someone who doesn't adhere to the Torah Shebaal Peh, and those who do, namely the Tzadikim. So that's the difference between Tzadukim and Tzadikim. A slight difference, but a quite huge difference.
But you could also say it's really the one negative bracha as opposed to all the ones are positive brachas. The question is, why in the middle?
Why?
Well, because you don't want people to know when we pretend it, because, you know, if someone hears it, you know, you stick it in the middle, they won't know it's Lamashinim. You're saying it's like, you know, we say like even with Olena, when you add, you know, what you would call it, no, when you say
Shehem Mishtachem Lehevel Bari,
you say Shehem Mishtachem Lehevel Bari. There's also something that's stuck in, we don't even want, a lot of people don't even say, but it's also in the same kind of context. Also, you're stuck in the middle, so maybe they won't hear. But if you said it at the beginning and the end, then somebody might catch on. So maybe that's the reason.
But by the Olenu, that was part of the original Olenu. Over here, you have something that
was... But I'm saying, you added, but it's a negative thing, so you threw it in because you want to say, oh, Mashinim, Mashiksev, you know, all that's the kind of stuff. You don't want to, you know, have it at the end or the beginning.
It's possible. Possible. It's also possible to say, based on the three opinions that we had, in which we said that the reason why there was 18 brachos that were initially instituted, we can't just make up a 19th, so let's make up a 20th, a 21st. So it must be connected to the three answers that we said previously. So this is what the Gemara says. Keneged mi tiknua. Literally, opposite what was this instituted? How could we institute this 19th bracha? It must be connected to one of the three answers that we said previously. So four lines in the bottom. Amar Rav Levi, Rav Hillel, Bered Rav Shmuel, Bar Nachmani. So he'll say it's keneged kel hakavod hirim. So again, if we look at the paragraph of Havel Hashem Bnei Elim, in which we saw last time in Rashi, that Rashi pointed out that there is a direct connection between the words in that paragraph, which we say when we take the Torah and put it back in the Aron HaKodesh after Torah reading, that we begin talking about Bnei Elim, which represents our Avos, and then afterwards we say Kavod V'Oz, which is strength, which represents the second paragraph of the Shemot Esrei, which is Gevura, the strength of rain, and then it ends off Havel Hashem Kodesh Shemo. It mentions Kedusha, which is Kedushas Hashem, which is the third paragraph. That paragraph ends with the word Shalom, right? That's how that paragraph ends, I believe. Hashem Ozeh Amotan Hashem Shalom, which is how the Shemot Esrei ends with the word Shalom. So if you study that paragraph at great length, some are easier than others, the ones I pointed out, but the ones throughout the Shemot Esrei, if you would study that paragraph, that is the actual source, how the Anshei Sekhnes Gedolah established the entire Shemot Esrei. So worthwhile looking through that at your leisure and figuring out how each one is connected, which is probably quite a task one could accomplish that. Anyway, so that's answer number one. Because it says Kel HaKavod Hirim, not Hashem's name directly, but one of Hashem's names, of Kel HaKavod Hirim, and referring to God's glory and honor that perhaps needs to be restored, possibly, and therefore that's the institution of V'lamal Shanim. That paragraph, or Birchas HaTzadukim, is allowed to be said because it does say Hashem's name a 19th time, Kel HaKavod Hirim. Rav Yosef says the Gemara, according to Rav Yosef, who said Shema, if you count, look in the word in Shema, it says Hashem's name 18 times. It doesn't have the word Kel in there either, to be able to come up with a 19th time. So how is he going to come up with a 19th? Keneged Echad Shebekriya Shema. It's opposite the word Echad in the Shema. Well, obviously, in that situation, it's not, if it would be Echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem, Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it should be one of the first brachos, and not in the middle. But perhaps that whole concept of what the Tzadukim did was they caused confusion in the concept of what is Echad, Hashem's oneness. That Tzadukim questioned the omnipotence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that in fact we have one God, or the oneness of God, and all the things that He does. So perhaps that's the significance of why Echad, which is Hashem, represents the one that which is one, that there is no pair of God, unlike human beings. So therefore, that's the proper word that we can learn out Birchas HaTzadukim from. Rav Tanchin, Omar Yeshua ben Levi, Keneged Chuliyah Ketana Shebeshedra. There's a tiny little bone which is in the vertebrae, which is so small and significant that we didn't even want to mention among the 18 originally. But now the 19th Bracha will include that.
Basically, and all the stuff is a stretch. I mean, there's really nothing bones this, it's like...
Well, we mentioned before the significance, we actually skipped over this Gemara because we saw last time about the connection of the backbone in the Shemona Esrei. It's a very, very strong connection. First of all, the way that we bow, but really the whole idea of bowing is to show that we are not in control, to show that Hashem is the one that dominates over this world, and that we have to be completely subservient to Him, and therefore that's the whole.
That's
the whole. That's what the Shemot represents. Sure. No, that's absolutely true. That's certainly the connection. But during the Shemot Esrei is the time in which we are actually standing in front of Hashem directly, having this dialogue, if you will. Really, we're speaking to Hashem. Hashem's listening and being active in our tefillah. So by bowing at that time is more intense, as opposed to me bowing when I'm thinking of someone who's in another room. Me doing it right in front of you is a completely different relationship. Now it doesn't say this anywhere, but perhaps, so why wasn't there 19 originally? So the smallest little insignificant bone is what the Tzadukim are. They're so small and insignificant that we didn't even count them among the 18 originally. If one would have been asked, how many bones are there in the backbone? How many are there? There's 18. Oh, yeah, I forgot this one insignificant thing that's so easily overlooked. That's the Tzaddukim. Those are those people that they should be overlooked, and their names should be wiped away. Tana Rabbanan. So the question is, it was mentioned it was done in Yavne, but what's the whole story behind the Birchas HaTzadukim? Who actually is the one who instituted this bracha? Tana Rabbanan. Shimon HaPakuli. This is a very interesting trivia question. Who was the one who was involved in instituting the brachos for Nashkenes Gedola? So Shimon HaPakuli. Hisdir Yudches Brachos Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel Al HaSeder B'Yavne. So Shimon HaPakuli was there, and he was organizing, making sure that we had all the 18 brachos, even though we were persecuted. We want to make sure that we had the tefillah intact, so that certainly when we're in Golis, we're going to need our prayers, our heartfelt prayers, to be answered more than ever. So he was standing in front of Rabbi Gamliel, and he was organizing this Al Seder. Had to be in the proper order. Has to be in the proper order, as we saw in the second parak of Megillah, that it's done specifically in a certain way, B'Yavne. And this is where it was, in Yavne. And of course, as we mentioned two lines above, that's where Berachas HaTzadikim was instituted. So Amar Rabbi Gamliel, the Chachamim. Rabbi Gamliel at that point felt it was proper to institute a 19th bracha. So he turned to the Chachamim. This is a great Rabbi Gamliel. He was a Nasi. He was a huge, huge Talmud Chacham. We don't have people that we can imagine as great as Rabbi Gamliel. He asked the question, Klum yish adam shiod l'sakin birchas hatzadukim. Is there anyone here that has the ability to be able to come up with the bracha of birchas hatzadukim? Can someone write a paragraph? Some people who are nice and poetic and write a couple Hebrew sentences. Is there anyone here that can do it? Apparently what Rabbi Gamliel is saying is he couldn't do it himself, which is kind of hard to believe, hard to understand, which we'll discuss in a second, the reason why. So all of a sudden there was silence. But for some reason, Amad Shmuel HaKatan v'tiknua. Shmuel HaKatan stood up and he instituted it. So why, what's the difference of Shmuel HaKatan? So some say Shmuel, like in Sefer Shmuel, as opposed to anyone who's compared to Shmuel HaNavi is going to be Shmuel Jr. So why is he called Shmuel HaKatan? So some say it shows his anivus. He's a very tremendous anav, a tremendous humble man, that he actually was given this name of Shmuel HaKatan, not that he named himself
so
that.
Much credence in Tzedukim. All of a sudden, we give him so much credence. They did a lot of other crazy things. So why are we saying, all of a sudden, we have to have a prayer for them?
It's possible that part of the problem was not because we cared so much about the Tzedukim, we cared about the people that were praying it. That maybe we were concerned about the Jewish people themselves going off the derech and following another religion.
Yeah, but they had many things. They said, "Put the so why don't we have something in Shema?" They said, "Put the nose." You know, all the things that they said. They did a million crazy things. So why are we all of a sudden picking out the Tzedukim for this? You know.
I think this is a very vulnerable time in the Jewish history, which I'm not extremely familiar with, but we know that this was already a time in which a lot of the Jewish people were going to other religions and the like, and therefore we had to institute that if you hear someone who's a tzaduki, which you can maybe use analogies for this generation, don't have a conversation with them. Don't be engaged with them because they are wrong. And therefore, by you saying it every day, three times a day, whenever you're confronted with Tzedukim, you'll distance yourself from them. And this way you'll remain steadfast in your heritage. I mean, that's probably the way. That's the way I understand it. But it's certainly worthwhile doing more studying exactly in this era and time. But again, it's interesting that Shmuel HaKatan is such an anav. That's why some people call him Shmuel HaKatan. Such an anav, what a humble person. So he's such a humble person. If Rabbi Gamliel asks, who is the one person in this entire room among all the great sages in Yavne that can institute a bracha, Shmuel HaKatan is the one who stands up. If you're such an anav, then you're not going to be the one who stands up, right? The anav is the person who doesn't stand up. So some explain in the following way. It's not brought down here, but it's brought down in Perkei Avos. There's only one Mishnah that is found in Perkei Avos by the author Shmuel HaKatan. And the Mishnah that Shmuel HaKatan says is Bin Fal Yivchal Tismach. It quotes the whole Pasuk. When your enemy falls, do not rejoice. So all the Mefarshim over there ask the question. So it doesn't make any sense. the Mishnah, if you study Perkei Avos, it's different ideas and thoughts of different people, different ideas that they come up with. And how could he come up with a beautiful expression of Beinfal Yivchal Tisma? What a beautiful expression. The problem is, it's not his. It's not his sentence.
It's plagiarizing,
right? You can't do that. He took it straight from Nach. It's not his pasuk. The answer is that the whole concept of Perkei Avos in general, when one studies Perkei Avos, and I say this all the time, is you don't just study the concept. You look at the name, you study the person, and then you study the concept, and you ask yourself, why did this person say this Mishnah? It's because this person lived it. This person isn't just telling us what to do. He actually lived it. His whole life was this. And that's why in Perkei Avos we have names. Why do you have to have names? Just have a bunch of different codes and ethics, and that's it. You can go to any bookstore and pick up a book with one author, and you can read all these different morals. It's because that author didn't necessarily live by them. In the Mishnah, they only say one or two things, but that was their life.
So
exactly. So Shmuel HaKatan was a person who lived by that pasuk. Bin fal yivchal tismach. When your enemy falls, do not rejoice. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel, of course he could have come up with a sentence, a paragraph. He could have written Birchas HaTzadukim, but it would have been with a bias, with a slant. When it comes to bracha and the Shon Esrei, it has to be with Ruach HaKodesh. It has to be that I'm not writing it because of my anger, my feelings, my emotions. So only Shmuel HaKatan, a person who has had that
midah. That really goes about to smile in Becha, because you're making a bracha against him. He'd be shutting up. You really shouldn't be saying anything. And he's in Rahal, Shinim, Masi, Sukkot, or Saibed, or Sashim, all the bad things that they should happen. So that
right.
For a guy who was practicing an Eva, so don't say anything when your enemy falls, how can you say something about Sudukin, who's not really your enemy? They're part of your people. So it's funny that he would make
right.
a bracha. He's not,
Right, he's not quoting in Pirkei Avos, when he quotes the pasuk, he's not saying that they shouldn't fall. He's not quoting the pasuk.
No, he says
fall. He's quoting a pasuk. He's quoting a pasuk that says they're going to fall.
Yeah, but he said, don't be happy.
Right.
Don't be.
There's nothing in the Blachal Shinim that tells you to be Mesameach within the
field. But you're giving them a curse. You're cursing them. And here, so you should,
right.
If you don't want to curse your enemies, you shouldn't be happy. You should just be quiet. How could you then curse your own people to saying, it's really coming from him. It really doesn't make sense.
What I'm trying to say, it's not coming from him. It's not him.
It's not him.
It's not him at all. It's not him at all.
How could you say that the Stukim are not our enemies? They're worse than our enemies. They're destroying the whole essence of Yiddishkeit.
Who said, what you're saying now? This is Yusuf
Pshat? It's in Perkei Avos. I can't remember. But Rav Chaim Volozhin actually says that we can see from here another very important message. And the message is that when it comes to the Shemona Esrei, can you imagine Rabbi Gamliel asks this question. Rabbi Gamliel says, is there anyone that knows how to institute this paragraph of Amal Shanim? So he says, L'chora Yifla. I'm just reading from what Rav Chaim Volozhin asked, and he does well. It's a wonder. Ki ma chochmahi lo zu l'sakin diro shtayim l'oshna kodesh. You can ask any kid to come up with a paragraph. Any kid that hates another kid. So you say, write a paragraph of how much you hate someone. There'd be more than, write 10 paragraphs, then write a book. So what's the big deal? So Chaim Volozhin explains that clearly from here it shows us the Kedusha of the Shemona Esrei, how every single word is calculated, and every letter that's there is not just there randomly. And therefore, when a person says the Shemona Esrei, it's not just that you ramble through the Shemona Esrei. You have to realize the importance of every single word. To skip over one word could truly be a significant difference. That's the reason why it's brought down over here in the Chassam Sofer. He says that even though it is permissible, we learned when we were learning about the Shema, you are allowed to say the Shema in Lashon, in any Lashon, any language. So too when it comes to the Shemona Esrei. It can be B'chol Lashon. He says, but to place a Shliach Tzibor to daven continuously in front of people in a language, in English, right? Let's say no one knows the language, Aser Lasos Kein. You're not allowed to do that. The question is, what's the difference? What's the problem? If, after all, it's instituted, fine, we have Lashon HaKodesh, but you're still Yotzei in any language, so let the Shleif Tzibor. No one else knows it, Nebuch, so why do I have to get a Hebrew crash course to learn how to speak Hebrew so I can, one person's community can read Hebrew? He says, because it has to be that way. Because when the Anshei Knesset Gedolah established the Shemoneh Esrei, it was in Lashon HaKodesh. It says, V'yoser tov ha'yolahem, v'lasach b'loshon kazdim, shezeho loshon shahayu medabrim. They spoke in the language of Kazdim at the time. So why would they choose a different language, a language of Lashon HaKodesh? It's because Lashon HaKodesh is unique in that it has in each letter, each word, we know there's gematria, there's so many different things connected in the Hebrew language, such deep yisodos, and therefore it was specifically instituted at that time, to the point that Chassam Sofer says that you cannot daven it as a shlecht sibor on a continual basis at least, but rather it has to be done Lashon HaKodesh. So even though we do encourage someone who's a Yabal Tshuva, who doesn't know Hebrew, yes, daven Shemoneh Esrei, daven, you can say it in English, but certainly there is the significance to every single word. So that's the reason why Rabbi Gamliel had to ask the question. Rabbi Gamliel could have written it, but not necessarily with every single word, every single letter in the proper format. Shmuel HaKatan, for whatever reason, was the one that felt he was able to do it, as we explained, there may be other reasons we can think of. But nonetheless, this was this shows the significance and the koach of the tefillah that we have, the power of every single word, that it has to be done this exactly the same way, and that you cannot be mishana, you cannot change any of the brachos, anything. The person that does that, it's unfortunate. And even though I have a tape running, if you look at other sections other than Orthodoxy, you can see how they change the Shemoneh Esrei because it's not PC. Like the Reform movement, they don't say Mechaya Mason, they say Mechaya HaKol. They don't want to say Mechaya Mason. So Mechaya HaKol, God gives life to everything. So it's nice and warm, so you don't get into the whole resurrection thing, which happens to be one of the Yud Gimel, whatever we have to believe in. But it's more than that. You can't mess around with the Shemoneh Esrei. If you have the tefillah, it's instituted in a certain way, you can't play around with it. And therefore, this is the reason why Shmuel HaKatan was the only person who Rabbi Gamliel felt, you know, I don't feel comfortable writing this paragraph. Continues the Gemara, but Tiknu he established it. Lashon Acher is Shachcha. The next year, it was forgotten. What happened between then and then, it's hard to really understand. Was he the only one that knew it? That's a good question. But apparently, the following year, he came back, and he was the one that was asked to lead the davening, and he was in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. When he got up to this paragraph, he froze. So what happened? They waited over here. If let's say there's a person isn't sure for a split second, people scream at you after 1 or 2 seconds, maybe 2 or 3 seconds. Forget about it. Here they waited for 2 and 3 hours. Shtayim shel shos, he was up there. V'lohalu, but they didn't cause him to be removed. So because of that, they felt that perhaps he would remember it. He would remember the proper nusach. So again, this shows, maybe it doesn't mean that he didn't know the whole it at all, he didn't want to say it, which is what the Gemara is going to say. Maybe he actually went off the derech, Shmuel HaKatan, he's being accused of going off the derech, perhaps because of his sensitivity, a person so overly sensitive, it shows that maybe he has some allegiance to those individuals. But perhaps this again shows that it's not that he didn't know the whole paragraph, he just maybe forgot one word, so he felt so nervous, because you can't just skip a word or a letter. Amai lo halu, why didn't they remove him? After all, v'ayim Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, tov b'chol brachos kulon ein ma'alonoso. If you see that someone made a mistake by any of the brachos, we're not going to remove the person. It happens. However, b'berchas hatzaduki ma'alonoso, when it comes to this bracha, if a person makes a mistake, person sounds like they made a mistake, but he inserted a different word, we remove them immediately. Chayshinan shema minhu. Because we're concerned that perhaps they in fact are among them. They are among their species. They're one of the minim. And therefore, because of that, we're not going to play around. So the question is, how about Shmuel HaKatan? Why would we allow Shmuel HaKatan to stay up there? Perhaps he went off the derech. So Shani Shmuel HaKatan, De'ihu Tafn. You're right. You have to understand, but Shmuel HaKatan was the one that actually instituted this tefillah. So if he's the one that instituted it, before that was never said. So he came along and bashed the tzaddukim. So of all people, he's not going to be the one that's going to go off the derech. He certainly is going to be someone that sides with us. So v'nichash dilma haderbe, maybe he changed his mind. Maybe he is now one of them. How do you know? Amar Abaye, Gemiri, we have a tradition. Tava lo havibisha. Something which is good does not become bad. Something good does not turn bad. Which means that they start, apparently means you have to at least start off good, as we're going to see. For lo, it's not so, but ksiv. For shuv tzadik mitzikasa yviosa avil. Hahu rasha miikara. So when it says the pasuk that please return you tzadik from your back to your righteousness, so we clearly see that tzadik could in fact turn and be wicked. So he says that's only rasha miikara, only if a person was wicked from at one point in their life. Avot tzadik miikara lo. If you are always a tzadik, then we do not say that you're going to go off the derech.
That's not so. Isn't that big rabbi that Derech, I'm trying to think,
then
his Talmud still learned from them.
Oh, Elisha ben Avuya.
Yeah, so how did he say what's...
Well, I don't know if he... Well, we discussed that the whole reasoning, but you're right, it's a good question. The Gemara's going to ask someone else, but you're right.
And the whole concept that until we go in Misa, you don't...
That line is going to be thrown in here as well. That's going to be a question. They're not going to use Elisha ben Avuya, they're going to use someone else as a question.
Right.
And the question is, we know that someone who's an FFB, right? Lav dafka, they're going to be I don't know what the expression is when you die, when you're from. DFB, okay. FFD. Anyway, v'loi, it's not so. It's not, it's not possible that the person could go off the derech. V'ha, tznan, al tamen ba'atzmacha ad yom ha'ischa. You can never have a munah. Don't trust in yourself and think, you know what, I'm a tzaddik, don't worry, this thing wrong, yeah, no problem.
Tzaddik, always tzaddik.
It doesn't necessarily work that way. So just because Shmuel HaKatan maybe was or was always a tzaddik, you never know. And how could you trust yourself? Of course, it's not necessarily a raya, because al tamen ba'atzmacha, this is only saying that you yourself, you shouldn't trust. But the whole Gemara is talking about, should we think that if you are a tzaddik or a rasha, as opposed to you yourself. But we see a proof to this. Shahar Yochanan Kohen Gadol Shimish B'Kahuna Gedoyla Shmoinim Shana. He was the Kohen Gadol for a long time, for 80 years, Shmoinim Shana. Rav Yochanan, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, which we've perhaps heard of numerous times. So it sounds like he was a great person, which he was, for 80 years, basically his entire life. The problem was the last moments of his life, Ubisof, at the very end, Nasat Saduki, which unfortunately all the good that he did, he ended up becoming a Saduki. So what do we see? We see from Yochanan Kohen Gadol, which apparently that what we're trying to say is Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol started off as a Tzaddik too, so that he never had the experience of being a Rasha to be able to go back to it, which is always the general principle, the problem, or the concern of someone who's a Baal Tshuva, that you don't want to incite them because they can always go back. Same thing as someone who's a Ger, you have to be very sensitive to them. But it's possible that just as Yochanan Kohen Gadol went off the derech, maybe Shmuel HaKatan went off the derech. So Abaye says, Hu Yanai, Hu Yochanan. This is Yanai, this is Yochanan. What is that referring to? So if we look in... Rashi says, Hu Yanai, Sheshninu B'Kedushin, it's brought down in Kedushin, Shehari Chachmi Yisrael. The Yanai, who discusses what he was a king, and he wanted also to be the Kohen Gadol. He was a very angry person, and he ended up killing out numerous people from the Chachamim. So he was the same person as Yochanan. In other words, this Yochanan character that we think he was so great, he really wasn't so great. And even though it sounds like he was serving as the Kohen Gadol, the truth is he was Yanai. And Yanai was not fit, as the Gemara over there in Kedushin talks about Yichus. And he, based on his pedigree, was not allowed to be a Kohen Gadol for various reasons of what his mother did. But the point is that he should not have been the Kohen Gadol, and Yanai was really not the firmest guy either. And therefore, the fact is, this is not a proof that a person who was a tzaddik can go off the derech. It's because Yanai l'chud and Yochanan l'chud. Yanai Rasha Mikara. I'm sorry. So that's answer number one. Who Yanai? Who Yochanan? Rabba says no. Yanai l'chud v'Yochanan l'chud. These are two separate people. Yanai Rasha Mikara. Yanai was a Rasha from the onset, and therefore, even if he looked like he was doing the right thing, he easily went off the derech. But Yochanan tzaddik mikara. But Yochanan was a tzaddik his whole life. So the question is, Hanich l'Abaya el Rav Akasha. According to Abaya, according to Rava, that just said what he said, that they were in fact two separate people, we have a question. What's the question? If Yochanan in fact was, Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a tzaddik mikara, he was always a tzaddik, yet he became a tzaduki, so could we not possibly say the same thing about Shmuel HaKatan? That maybe Shmuel HaKatan is a tzaduki. Maybe Shmuel HaKatan, he's the one who instituted it. So what if he instituted it? So he once was adamantly one way, now he's the other direction. And that's what we often find when you find people that are the most people who, for example, it comes to smoking, LaMarshall. First, the people who are the most against it were the people that used to smoke five packs a day. Right? Right. So they go in the opposite extreme. So maybe the fact that he was so much against them, that's sometimes the opposite is the closest thing to the thing itself. So Rav will say, Tzadik mikar nami dil mahadabe. And this is what we know in life. We look around and we know this is masim b'chol yom. Just because a person is a tzadik when they were born, who says that they're going to stick with it? So if that's the case, so ihachi, if so, amailo askuhu, why wouldn't they have removed Shmuel HaKatan? Shmuel HaKatan could have, in fact, went off the derech. Chas v'shalom, to ever say Shmuel HaKatan would have gone off the derech. And this is no way to think that he would have, because Shani Shmuel Katan, the Aschil Ba, because he began it. What does it mean he began it? It means he at least began the paragraph. He was enthused to say the paragraph. The problem was he forgot in the middle the Nusach. He forgot the words. He forgot exactly what to say. But yeah, so it doesn't mean that he wouldn't have said it if he had a sitter in front of him, right? And before we continue the next part of the Gemara, if you look in Rashi, the fourth line, the Aschil Ba, Hischil Amra, so he began to say it, Vita be'emsiasa, but his mistake was in the emsa in the middle. And therefore, says the Gemara, the Amra of Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda, who said the name of Rav, V'itame, if you want, you could say it was Rabbi Shuman Levi that said this, Lo Shanu, the only time I said that it's necessary when a person makes a mistake in Berachas HaTzadukim is El Shlo Hischil Ba. It's only if the person did not begin it. If you see that the person just stops and looks in the Siddur and is like, I'm not reading about this, I don't want to curse myself, so you remove that person immediately in the middle of the Shemona Esrei. Avol Hischil Ba Gomra. But if he began it, you allow him to complete it. And therefore, even though it would have taken a couple of hours or whatever amount of time it would have taken for this person to have recalled, it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't say what happened afterwards. It doesn't say, did he remember in the middle? Did he end up finishing it? Did someone else take his place? It just says that he waited. And the question is, why did they wait at all? But it doesn't discuss what happened afterwards. But the fact is, that since in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, it's clear that he was in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, in the middle of this paragraph, the fact that he began the paragraph showed that he did not go off the derech. In fact, we can never say that Shmuel Katan went off the derech, as Hashem, he remained at tzaddik, and therefore, he was allowed to complete it, even though it took him so much time to say it. But I think, again, the most powerful thing of this there's two very important concepts. The concept of even someone as great as Shmuel Katan shayach that he can go off the derech. So we can never be have the emunah that we are such big tzaddikim. Every moment we always have to judge and think about every action that we do. Is this something which we should do? Because it could bring us closer to Hashem, or chas v'shalom, the opposite. And this other idea of the koach of tefillah. Every single word, every letter of our tefillah is so powerful that it had to be instituted, not even by Rav Gamliel, but by someone else. Rav Gamliel did not feel comfortable doing it. And therefore it shows that when we daven, how much more careful we should daven with the proper kavanah every single day. Stop here.